Welcome to the Home Church Podcast. My name's Kenny, and I serve as the lead pastor here at Home Church, and we gather in Maiden, North Carolina. We're so glad you tuned in to today's episode, and we hope that this episode will help encourage you and inspire you as you continue to follow Jesus step by step. Well, good morning, and welcome to Home Church. My name's Kenny. I have the honor of serving as the lead pastor here at Home Church, serve as amongst one of the elders who help lead our church. We're glad that you're here. Today, we're starting a brand new series called When Wind Breathes Fire. This idea that when the Holy Spirit, the wind of God blows, that it ignites fire and things burn. And that's a good thing. We mentioned a little earlier that we've all seen things happening inside of the earth. And many of us have heard these words being resonated throughout the earth. The word revival. Maybe you've heard the word awakening. Maybe the word outpouring. And in a lot of ways, most people actually consume those words as one and the same, that they all mean the same thing. But during the series, what we want to do is take some time to actually show you that they are three different moves of God. They for you to be able to identify them, acknowledge them, recognize them, and understand what that might mean for your life and how that plays a part in your life. And so I want to just quickly give you a little bit of a definition for each of these so that you understand the separation amongst them. And so first is the idea of revival. This is the word that most people say, most people talk about. But what revival is that it is a move of God in the heart of a believer who is pretending as though they are dead. There's not movement in their life. There's not activity in their life. There's no fruit in their life. There's no life in their life. And so revival is a sparking, a reviving, a refreshing that the Holy Spirit does in the heart of a believer. The second word is an awakening. And we're going to talk about this next week, and it's going to be great because this is very appropriate to the times that we are in the earth. There are awakenings that seem to be happening consistently. Recently, we all know that the death of Charlie Kirk was absolutely an awakening in the earth. And an awakening is an actual event. It's something that happens in the earth that shakes the heart of a believer to wake them up. I've never sat through an earthquake, but if you could imagine, you're dead asleep in an earthquake, the whole house shakes, you wake up and you're like, okay, I better do something. That's what an awakening is. It's in the heart of a believer through an event that happens in the earth to wake us up and revive us to realize, oh boy, the Lord is at move here and he wants to move in me. And he's used this event to wake me up and many others. That's, by the way, that's been happening in the earth, if you're not aware. The last word is outpouring. And this is what we call an outpouring of God's Spirit. Now, to be clear, revival and awakening happen in the hearts of believers. But as we as believers actually live out revival, we actually become awake and move in the earth as God intends, then that's where God can use us and he pours his Spirit out in the earth. And this is where we see that the lost are found because God's Spirit moves in a powerful way where he pours out. And so today, very quickly, I want to teach you around the idea of revival. I want you to look at this and see this with me. And I want you to ask the question that I asked you before we started when we prayed together. God, what is it in me that might be dead that needs to be revived today? What needs to be refreshed in me today? What needs to be woken up in me today? And Jesus speaks directly to the church in a way that I want to show you today. And so if you have your Bible, I want you to open it up to the book of Revelation. And maybe you're new to church and you did bring a Bible. It's the very last book in the Bible. And if you don't have a physical Bible, I always want to remind you, we would love to gift you a physical Bible. We want to always encourage you to bring a physical Bible if you can. And it might be digital. That's okay. We're not going to judge y'all, especially if you're using an Apple product. We will judge you if you're using an Android product. And if you don't have either of those, we're going to put the scripture on the screen and it's going to be at my feet. But before we get to it, let me just say this. There's been a lot of talk in these days, especially on social media, about Revelation. Let me go ahead and give you a telltale sign that someone has no idea what they're talking about when it comes to the end times, is when they refer to the book of Revelation as the book of Revelations. They add an S. There is no S. There are no revelations. It is a revelation that God gave John It is a revelation. It is an unfolding, not revelations. All right. So whenever you hear those prophets using that and they say, go to the book of Revelations, just turn them off. Just move on. They don't know what they're talking about. All right. So Jesus speaks to this idea of revival in the heart of his people, in the heart of believers. And he does so as he's speaking to, he's given revelation to one of the seven churches. And he specifically is talking to the church at Laodicea. And that's what we're going to look at today is in Revelation chapter 3. And we're going to start in verse 14. I'm going to read it to you. And then we're going to come back and I'm going to teach it to you. And then we're going to respond to what God wants to do in us today. So here's what it says in Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, write. So this is Jesus giving revelation to John to write a message to the church. And this is what he says. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. He's saying, these are the words of Jesus. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you either were one of the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you. Whenever the Lord says, I counsel you, you should probably tune your ear. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Thank you, Jesus. That's one of the best verses in all of Scripture that we need to be reminded of. The Lord loves us when he disciplines us. He says, so be earnest and what, church? What's it say? Be earnest and what?
Repent.
Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He will dine with us. He will commune with us. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So real quick, a little bit of context about Laodicea. Laodicea would be found in common day, modern day Turkey. It would be about 600 miles away from Jerusalem. Think about that. The center of the beginning of the church was in Jerusalem. And already in the early church, the church had expanded through the work of the Spirit through people all the way into Turkey, 600 miles away. That's incredible. The economy was something that Laodicea would be known for. It'd be wildly wealthy. They were rich in art, in music, in medicine, and in innovation. They would have set up some of the earliest banking industries for not just taking money, but borrowing money and lending it out, making interest. Clothing and fashion was significant. In fact, they were the creators of black wool. It's important to where we're going. And also, we know that from the Church of Laodicea, that Laodicea, the city, would have been innovative. They would have had medical technologies. They actually created and engineered what's known as eye salve. It's an eye ointment to help people see. And just to give you a little insight, there's a water supply thing that they've got going on where they actually didn't have water of their own. There were two different cities around them that they had aqueducts that would provide water to them from these two different places. And so here's what I want to set you up with. One of my favorite places to go eat is Chili's. Anybody with me? Yes, thank you. I got a few people on the Chili's train. Let me just go ahead and tell y'all, buy in now. Chili's is on the rise. Like, it's on its way back. I want my baby back ribs, right? But I love Chili's. And listen, I was just telling some men the other morning at breakfast, man, I love Chili's as a great burger. You go, you sit down, you eat that bucket of chips and salsa, and then you ask for another to take home with you. And then you get this burger, and it's nice and hot and fresh. It's delicious. The fries are good, all that good stuff. And by the way, you can't beat it. It's like a three-for-me meal. You get your soda, your appetizer, your burger, and your fries. It's money, okay? Chili's. We can talk about an endorsement deal. And I'll go and I'll sit at Chili's. It's awesome. Well, I made a tremendous mistake a few months ago where I was busy. We had a lot going on. I didn't really want to drive to go get it. So you know what I did? I ordered it. I had DoorDash bring it, and I ordered it, and here's what happened, okay? So I had my burger, and in it was all this other food, and part of my meal was a salad. And so I go to it, and I go to get my salad because it had been clearly sitting for 6.5 hours on top of the rest of the hot food. And have you guys ever put a bit of warm, wilted salad? It's disgusting. I mean, you just like, literally, you're gonna spit it out, right? And then you go and you bite into the burger, and I mean, bacon's gonna be good hot or cold, okay? So that part's fine, but you bite into the burger and it's like, just the bun's falling apart. It's just like nasty. And it's this problem that when you go and sit down there, it's hot. Like the burger's hot and the salad's nice and cold, but you order it and it's got all this long time to sit around and wait. Nothing happens to it and it's not very good. This is what Jesus is speaking about. See, many times in your church, you've been told that, oh, the Lord wants you to be hot or cold, that you either be on fire for God or just get out. Have you ever been taught that in the church? It's terrible. It's a terrible teaching. That's not at all what Jesus is saying to us in the church, because he's talking to believers. Think about that. Imagine Jesus talking to a believer saying, hey, I either want you hot or I want you out. That's not what Jesus would say. He's the heart of restoration. He has the heart of fire. He wants to revive in us something. So when Jesus is speaking to a lukewarm church in Laodicea, when he says the fact that you're lukewarm, he's actually speaking to something contextually that you got to understand that they would have known about. See, they would have lived between these two cities, these two places, Hierapolis. Hierapolis would have had hot springs in their town, and they would have it would be warm and hot, and it would be for medication and healing and all that good stuff. And then in the other town, Colossae, this is actually another book of the Bible is written to the church, to Colossians, right? We've got this. Colossae, they would have cool springs, and that would be refreshing and cool. You know, you need some nice hot water to warm some tea, and you need some nice cool water to refresh you. And the idea is that in both of these places, they have what they need. Warm water for healing, cool water for refreshing. But Laodicea was right in the middle, and they had these aqueducts that would travel for almost 6 miles between them. And by the time the water would travel either from the hot spring or the cool spring, and it got to Laodicea, and then it would be intertwined with one another, it would actually be known as lukewarm. It would have gotten stale along the journey. It would have died in its freshness, either hot or cold. And so when you go to pull it out and you drink it, it's disgusting and you want to spit it out. See, the Lord knew that these people would understand this context. He wasn't saying, church, lukewarm believer, I either want you on fire or want you out. What he's saying is that I either want you to be one or the other. I want you to be hot, bringing healing, bringing fire, bringing restoration, to be on fire for things. Or I want you cool, which is refreshing, calm, silent, all these beautiful things. See, there are beautiful parts of us as believers. I'm a little bit on the fire side, all right? I'm gonna bring a little bit of the heat. I'm gonna bring a little bit of the fire, and we're gonna refine things. And thank God my wife's on the other end. My wife is calm, cool, collected, refreshing. If you sit at dinner with us, you're gonna look at us and be like, yo, you're crazy. Thank God for this woman. It's awesome. And so I want you to understand this idea of being lukewarm, being spit out, isn't about being on fire, or being away. It's how has the Lord called you and gifted you to be as a believer? Because I just look in the room and I see Miss Sweet Rosemary over here. God bless you. I love you. You're a gift to this house. And Miss Rose is calm and cool and refreshing. And she speaks life and its beauty. And anywhere she goes, she brings grace and kindness and mercy. And I love it. And anybody who's been around Miss Rose has been refreshed by her, right? And I'm not going to point out somebody hot because I don't want to give anybody a hard time, but you know who you are. I'll just point at myself, right? But there's this heat that comes with passion, with vigor, with fire. This is what the Lord would want for you. to come out of the stalemate of the travel and the distance that you've been on your journey, to come out of the falling asleep that you've more likely than not done. Really, in some ways, there are some of you under the sound of my voice, you're not even taking a nap, you're actually dead to your spiritual journey. And so what revival is revival is a reviving of the heart of a believer. It is a refreshing of the heart of a believer. It is a move of God inside, first and foremost, of the heart of the believer. And this is what Jesus is calling us to. Well, how did we get here? Well, we get here because of either dependence or independence. Either you carry a dependence on God and you've stayed awake, you've stayed on fire, you've stayed cool, you've stayed connected, you've abided in God, and you've stayed awake in this journey, or you've become independent because you got it. You got everything you need. You don't need anything from him. In fact, this is what he said to them. He said in verse 17, he says, "You say, I am rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing." I can just hear him like, yeah, got a little attitude. He says, "But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you," he said, to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see." Jesus is speaking directly to the culture in this church, directly to all the things that they're walking through. And he's talking to them about their indifference to him, their lack of dependence on him. Because when we have money, when we have clothes, when we have our own ingenuity, we become dependent on ourselves. We're independent persons. And when we're independent, we don't have a dependence on God to do anything in us or through us. That's what lulls us to sleep. A lot of times this is what happens when we even read the Bible. We have what I call the lullaby effect. You just read the Bible, but you don't actually slow down and read it. You just, oh, I know that, and you just keep moving through it. Most of us find ourselves in a lukewarm position and in need of revival and reviving because we are not dependent on God. We become dependent on ourselves. You say, "I'm rich, I got money, I don't need God, I don't need his favor." You say, "Man, I don't need your white linen, I got black ones." This is what the culture would say. They created black wool. You say, "I don't need your healing, God. I don't need a touch from you to heal me. I got my own engineering." We got our own ingenuity to be able to create a salve to heal our own eyes. And what he's saying to them is this. He's like, "You think you're rich, but you are broke spiritually because you're dependent on yourself and not me." He says, "You think you're clothed beautifully, but you're wearing black and it's disgusting and you are dead spiritually. You need to put on the white clothes of righteousness." He says, "You think you healed your eyes and then you can see." He says, "But you are blind spiritually to just how dead you actually are." And so God is speaking directly to this lukewarmness and where we fall to. And even the place in our culture where we got it, we're not dependent on him anymore. We're independent. And that's how we get to this place of lukewarmness. The truth is that we all have earthly things that we depend on. And he's calling us to dependence back on him. So what does this mean? How do we respond? You say to me, "Pastor, I don't want to be lukewarm. I know I've got some hot tendencies in me. I know God's built me with passion and fervor and vigor for him and his word and his kingdom." Or maybe you know, "God has built me to be cool, calm, collected, refreshing." And you say today, "Pastor, to be honest, spiritually right now, I'm a little blinded." You might say today, "Pastor, today, the truth is that I've made my own clothing and it is black. It is not white with righteousness." You might say today, "Pastor, I've made my own way, and I realized that all it did was lead me to a path of destruction." Well, how do you respond? How then does God do revival in your heart? How then does hotness, coolness come to you versus lukewarmness and being spit out? Well, he says this. I'm going to go back to it. Verse 18, he says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, not rich in the ways of the world, but rich in the ways of God. And wear white clothes to wear, not black clothes of unrighteousness, but white clothes of righteousness, so that you can cover your shameful nakedness and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see, so that you might actually have spiritual eyes to see things rather than being blinded anymore. How does this happen? He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. And so from, I say this with gentleness, I say this with love, but I say this with conviction, that the Spirit of God said to the church of Laodicea, and he says to you sitting right now in Maiden High School, in the auditorium, or watching online, wherever you are, that the Spirit of God says to you that he loves you, but he is rebuking you, and he brings discipline over your life, not because he hates you, but because he loves you. And anytime the Lord brings conviction to our heart, rebuke to our life, and discipline to our journey, there's only one response. There's only one response. And it is to repent. It is to repent. And he says this, so be earnest and repent. Well, you know, I'll go home and think about what you said. Well, I'll go back and read the Bible, make sure I heard that right. Cool, you do that. But the Word of God says, be earnest and repent. And then he goes on to say, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. How do I respond? The scriptures say that you repent. What is repent? Repent means that you have to turn. Repent is speaking to your sin. Sin is where we have grieved God, where we have wronged God, where we've been disobedient to him, where we've lacked faith in any part of our life. Anytime that we've sinned, whether against God or against others, we have unforgiveness in our heart. We have a lack of belief in our heart. We have sin in our heart. The only way to be made right in that is to be forgiven. And the only way you can be forgiven is to repent of it, to turn from it. Now, those of you that are believers, here's the good news. That Jesus paid one ultimate price for your sin. He died on a cross. He paid the price for your sin once and for all. It's all been paid. And yet, when you are a believer and your spirit seems dead, the truth is that you're not spiritually dead. It's time to be revived. And the way to be revived, to see revival in your heart, is to repent of your sin, turn from it, and seek the ways of God in your life. That's it. That's the way. He says, I counsel you to buy gold refined by me. What does that mean? Here's what the scripture says in Proverbs 17. It says, the crucible for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. I'm blanking on the word here. Someone who works with metal would turn up the heat, would use fire to melt down, to bring impurities out of silver and gold. It would be extracted by fire. The only way that something that's dirty could be made pure would be to be refined by fire for the impurities to be brought to the top, to be brought out. This is what God wants to do in you. This is the heart of conviction. When he brings conviction over your heart, when he says, I'm knocking at the door of your heart, will you let me in? That's his way of saying, I want to bring fire to bring out the impurities that you might repent, turn from them, and be made right. This is what he's asking of you. And so repentance and refining are significant parts to the beginning of revival. First, in your heart, and then through the church. I want to tell you a quick story. Many of you guys probably remember this, but a few years ago, there was what we heard about, a revival that broke out in a small town in Kentucky called Wilmore. And there is a quiet little Christian college called Asbury University. Maybe you heard about this, but a few years ago, there was a time right after a chapel that one of the leaders preached a word, and all of a sudden some students lingered and they started to pray and they started to repent. The leader leaves, he comes back, he hears that something's happening. And then over the span of the next several weeks, God pours out his spirit. God does a wild work in the heart of people. People are flocking to Wilmore, Kentucky. Y'all, Wilmore, Kentucky. All right. And this is what it looked like. People are flocking to Wilmore, Kentucky because they hear about this revival. They hear about this reviving of people. They hear about a move of God. And so they flocked to Wilmore, Kentucky. And I went and I flew there. And I'm telling you, there ain't nothing around it. And yet there were lines and lines. You can see a little bit of the line behind me. People who were hungry to experience a taste of God, to experience a taste of revival. I was one of them. That was my friend Andy Williamson. He's a pastor at a church in Concord, and he's got way more money than me, so he bought a flight for both of us, and he took us. And here's what's crazy about that trip to Wilmore. We got there kind of late, and there were tons of lines, and I was hungry to hear from God. I was hungry for revival in my own heart. I wanted to see it. Taste it, experience it. And when you guys hear about so many things happening in the earth, there's probably some of you that have that. There were hundreds of thousands of people who flocked to Phoenix just a few weeks ago. And many of them for that one reason, because they believed that revival was gonna break out and they wanted to be in the room. And I know exactly how that feels. That's what took me all the way to Wilmore, Kentucky. And so, I'll tell you a little secret. You promised not to tell anyone. There were these huge lines. We had a very quick in and out. We only had several hours. God forgive me, but I broke in line. I didn't have time to wait. I didn't have time to wait for 2 days. Pastor Andy, God forgive both of us. We broke in line because we were hungry. And it was a little bit of the woman with the issue of blood who broke through the crowd just to get to Jesus, to touch the hem of his garment. There was a piece of me that was just so hungry to get in the room, so hungry to get a taste of God, because I wanted that experience. I wanted to be revived. And we got in there. And here's what most of us do. We get in there and I'm waiting for vision. I'm waiting for hope. I'm waiting for inspiration. I can't wait for God to download on me all the incredible things that he has for me in our church, and that he was gonna spark something and it was gonna ride on my shoulders all the way back to Maiden, and then revival would break out here. And I sat in that pew in the back of that room, and the Holy Spirit crushed me over my prayer life, over my walk with him, over my devotion, crushed me. And I sat in that seat where I thought I was going to be revived and come back with fire. And the Holy Spirit didn't just knock, he put a right foot right through my door. And son, I have better for you. I sat in that seat and I wept. And I repented over my sin. And some of you were in the room, and I came back that Sunday, and you probably thought, oh, here we go. Pastor's gonna bring revival back with him. And I stood on that stage and I confessed to you those things. And we had a time of repentance as a church. You see, I know when you hear revival, there's this stuff that goes on in your head and you're like, yeah, like revival. And I don't want to dismiss that. There is absolutely a part of that that God uses and moves through his church to revive a house. It does. And then, oh, by the way, it spills out into the earth. But so many of us get that vision in mind, like I did, and we go and we actually sit in the pew, and today, the wind of God is blowing in many of your hearts, and he's breathing fire But he's calling you to repentance because that's where revival starts. Revival starts in the heart of the believer, and it first starts with repentance. And so I'll simply ask you this question. What is it in your life that needs to be repented of? What is it in your heart that needs to be turning away from sin, confessing to Jesus that you have sinned against him and against others, and turn back to him to walk in his ways? What is the Holy Spirit of God blowing on your heart, knocking on your heart right now? What is he convicting you of? Not because he's angry with you, and not because he wants to destroy you, but because he wants to discipline you because he loves you. He doesn't want to spit you out. He wants to revive you. And as a church, we pray for revival today. We pray that revival would break out in this house and that eventually it would overflow into our homes and into our neighborhoods and our community and our county and God knows wherever else it might want to flow into. We pray for that. But as I prepared for today, I thought about many of you in your journeys. And my prayer has been for you today that the Holy Spirit of God would bring you to a place of repentance, to turn from your sin, to be revived and refreshed, that then the wind of God could use you and move through you, but it starts first in your heart.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. If there's anything that we can do to serve you or come alongside of you in your journey, please reach out. You can reach us at hello@myhomechurch.cc.